Hi, this is Russ. We're now into session number 8, Freedom Encounters and Exit Counseling. This is a very vital chapter because counseling nowadays is, I mean, it's one thing to counsel somebody who just feels depressed, they lost a job, and that's a serious thing, and they have needs, husband or wife issue, or other things that people are going through. Those are all vital issues, but many of us now are very clear that when it comes to major trauma, major abuse, and two areas, whether people are coming out of cult systems and or multiple personality disorder or DID, whatever you want to call it nowadays, and satanic ritual abuse, if they're coming out of the coven systems and the satanic type abuse, it is sheer exit counseling that we need to employ in the midst of a freedom encounter. And we've said before that a freedom encounter covers a number of things ultimately that God is overseeing and guiding and directing and searching and looking, because you've got to bring out the can of worms before you can unleash the answers and the grace of God, compassion of God, mercy of God, the word of God, and many other things. So in the encounters that you have, whether in your office or on the field, you will obviously be engaging many individuals that have so much control that there's both outside issues and many other issues dealing with the kind of bondage they've been brought into. Now, you know what I do in this session? By the way, let me just say again, hi, this is Russ, and we're in Freedom Encounters, the course, Session 8. Father, right now, just bless each and every one, because I even know, God, that it's individual study, and say, go to this study guide, and they just follow along. I know how you will speak to them. I know how you will add precept upon precept and word upon word, and you will empower them experientially to be able to minister things, and during these sessions to receive ministry. So I pray that all those who are listening and going through, that God, you'd be granting to them the ministry that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as you are our Father, the God of all comfort, that you comfort all of all compassions, you comfort us in all of our troubles. And this is an awesome thing, Father. And we want to ask you to comfort us, to come alongside and minister to us. You're the great paraclete. And you come alongside to minister to us in all of our troubles, and you've got an answer for every issue, and you have a way of bringing us to victory and bringing us through. Father, I pray for each one that you will just embrace them, and that we can know your inseparable, unbroken presence, that we're never forsaken, you never leave or forsake us, and that you who began a good work in our lives will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. In Jesus' name. Now listen, my friends, as we study this, this is broader than any possible concept of counseling somebody for 50 minutes and having them come back. It's very hard to get somebody who's been caught up in a real cult and brought under what is called, some have called it totalism, and under that level of cult mind control, and you've got to have more than, you've got to be on the field with this. And so there's going to be a lot of interactions with counselors in the field and in the office and so forth. It just cannot be set up like a pure secular situation. You're a believer in Christ. You're a servant of the Lord God. And God requires you to go the extra mile at times. And in order to see people set free, Isaiah 58 tells us that we're to spend ourselves on behalf of them, to break the yoke, break every yoke. And with cult mind control and satanic ritual abuse mind control and the kind of technical programming and mind control that's out there today, there's a lot of interaction that we're going to have with people. And this section is called Exit Counseling in the context of Freedom Encounters. Exit Counseling, the backdrop of all of this, is the awesome book of Exodus. It's an incredible book of God going at great lengths for the redemption of people. He cared about here in Exodus, rather, it was 1.5 to 1.8 million individuals to get out. I mean, first of all, we have the type of Satan, the type of an occultic, satanic system of bondage to the people of God. We have them living, you know, pharaohs living by lies, one of the most occultic systems in all the world. And nowadays, many people are going back to Egypt and studying some of the horrific Nephilim and high levels of occult doorways. And it's very, very dangerous, the pyramids and everything else about it. So when you read in the book of Exodus about the deliverance of Israel, it's a tremendous story how God has interacted this way. And look what happened. It took a process. Look at the control. Look at the force. Look at the abuse. Look at everything's involved here. You have spiritual deception. You have spiritual warfare. You have power encounters with the two snakes and Moses and the rod of God throwing it down. You have God in each one of the displays of power, whether it's, you know, the frogs or the rivers, the waters turning red and so forth. Every one of those works of God was an attack on one of the deities. Every one of those had a deity behind it. And so we see God, this is a major spiritual warfare, and it involved mind control in the sense of the bondage of these people. They would have never gotten out by themselves, never gotten out by themselves. They would have lived in the forced labor, and the pain that they were going through was enormous to live their lives in slavery. And that's how Satan would have us. He'd love us to use humanity. That's the satanic Luciferian brotherhood system. That's the cult system where satanically charismatic individuals, David Koresh, Jim Jones, Moses Burt, you know, all the different ones from the different groups, Sun Myung Moon, and you can list a whole other bunches of them. Someone has written material and mentioned that they said there were up to 30,000 different types of cults and spiritual groups in the United States, whether little storefront places or bigger systems like Scientology, which we've engaged and went to and saw how they begin to bring people in and how we in Christ need to help people get out. Well, the Exodus in the Old Testament, this is page 20 in your notes, by the way. And again, just use your notes and write and see what God gives you and write down everything. Just write all that you need. Let it be deeply interactive. The Exodus in the Old Testament is the backdrop of the session. Bondage came from people in power. The power came from the deep lies of dark spirits. The rules and control were the outcome of those lies and the goal of the satanic presence. So anything you read about Pharaoh and the whole system is a demonstration of the way Satan has grid mapped the earth and began to take, you know, his rule and reign on the earth. The Bible says that he's the god of this age, that he blinds the minds of unbelievers. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that the evil one who's in control of the whole world, the fallen system. And so we see entire nations built, Babylon, and we see with Pharaoh, and you see entire nations built. The Nazis were the same thing, and Islam is the same thing. The territorial demon spirit of Daniel, that is Allah. And we have the issue of the Prince of Persia, a territorial demon that's over a region and gets control of hearts and minds, just as in the day of Daniel. There was a regional, national level of enormous control by the Prince of Persia and his blockade of even the prayers of Daniel. To the degree of that satanic presence and satanic control is going to be many times the degree of the intercession and perseverance we need in prayer. Because the breakthrough is because satanic blocking. If you're dealing with people coming out of cults, the occult, if they're coming out of other weird spiritual experiences, if they're coming out of satanic ritual abuse, I guarantee you, you're going to engage spiritual warfare. I guarantee you're going to be dealing with it all the way from beginning to end. When God sent Moses to bring the word, "Let my people go," it involved, you know, like, no way. You know, you go to a coven and say, "Let people go." No, you know, the priests and the people within the brother, they don't want to let them go. Rogue, demonically inspired government never wants to let the people go. They want to use them and abuse them. And they become slaves and drones. And we'll see more of that as we approach the days of the Antichrist and the system that's going to be built as old Babylon becomes new Babylon and rises in the world around us. Very important to take a look at what's occurring. The whole issue with Exodus was delivering from this high order of bondage and taking them through this process and getting them. The whole goal of God was to get them to the promised land, get them out to get them in. He didn't get them out to lead them out. He got them out to get them in. God wants to take people out of the worst cases of bondage and bring them to the promised land. Thus, Mark chapter 5, and the man living naked among the tombs by himself, cutting himself, howling, crying out, barely the shreds of humanity left. And Jesus comes, and we see what Jesus does here is he delivers them. And in one day, he's free, clothed in his right what? In his right mind. And he just simply wants to follow Jesus who did this. And so when people are really delivered and Jesus comes to deliver them from the demonic presence, bring inner healing to their life, and it's really an encounter with Jesus Christ of Nazareth in salvation, healing, and deliverance. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I got saved and I didn't come out of the trauma issues, I didn't come out of the need of inner healing, whatever. Maybe I need to be delivered from the demonic oppression attachments that I had out of Buddhism. But all I can tell you is Jesus Christ became everything to me when I turned to him and encountered him for real. And that's who he is. He is good, taking us out of the lies, out of the deception, out of seduction, out of dysfunction, out of the danger, and bringing us what? Not just out, but taking us into abundant life. Jesus said it very clear in John 10, the thief, whether it's national, a region, individual, whatever, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, Zoe, the qualitative, powerful, radiant life that comes out of heaven, which God is the source, which God is. Jesus is the life. And he's come to give us the life, and life more abundantly, full and complete, total. And he begins that work, as I said earlier in the prayer. And I didn't know I'd use it right now, but earlier in the prayer we did in the session is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work, there again is that word, Greek word that means a supernatural operative working. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ. So whether you read that verse or you go to Romans chapter 8, that we have been in Christ, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Predestination is all about us being conformed to the glorious and awesome, radiant character and person of Christ. And that's the work of God. So when you're dealing with people to get them out of bondage, some people just want to get out of the pain. That's all the further they want to go. That is not what God wants to do. And I liken this to the idea of a burn victim. And we'll talk about that, I think, later on page 21, maybe, and touch on that. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Let's go over the issue of bondage or soul control, cults, and totalism. Now, Robert J. Lifton wrote a book, The Nazi Doctors, and he discusses also, I think, in a book called Totalism, in which the concept of cults and the occult, or particularly cults, the idea of totalism, that they're not, their mind is controlled, but their environment is controlled, their relationships are controlled, their financial life and their job, their career, everything about them is controlled. Total control. Now, we see this in people like Jim Jones, David Koresh, Victor Paul Wirewilly of The Way International. And you can talk about many other of those demonically inspired. All of them use the scripture to some point, but as... Again, the Spirit of God not being in them, they couldn't teach the Word of God correctly. When they encountered demonic presence and demonic presence was in them, then the demonic presence through them distorted the Word, brought the kind of control over individual lives, and deceived people. Counselor, can I tell you something? People, I mean, just understanding this principle, people can be deceived. There is power in the satanic kingdom. We've been given authority to trample on that kingdom to overcome all the power of the evil one. Yes, he does have power. Yes, he does make promises. Yes, there is a real Satan. Yes, there are real demons, and they speak and they interact. In the last days, there are going to be people led astray through doctrines, didache, of demons. Literally, just as the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God and each and every verb and noun and preposition and so forth, so demons will do and counterfeit the same thing in creating spiritual books. And each one of those spiritual books will have demonic attachment. And each one of those satanically charismatic cult leaders, guided by demons, in some cases tormented, they will also, and you got to realize again, with thousands of cults, in the Unification Church under Sun Myung Moon, last I read, there were up to 3 million followers. And many of those followers would work 15, 16 hours a day on the streets collecting money through all kinds of organizations, fake organizations. Of course, that money would go to Sun Moon, and you can read the whole history of him, his tax evasion, and his purchase of the Washington Post. It's an amazing thing how he's been driven, not only to claim that he's the Christ, but to get into politics and to live a lavish lifestyle. This is very important that we understand this the last hour. The Holy Spirit says in 1 John chapter 2, this is how we know it's the last hours, that many antichrists, you know, we've heard the antichrist is coming, but many antichristu have come out into the world. And Jim Jones was one. And these are prominent figures we know about because of the damage. There are many of the Eastern Hindu Maharishi and so forth that came over, same thing, claiming that they are Christ and that we can reach Christhood. Same thing in the New Age. In the New Age, that there's going to be this presentation of certain individuals that are going to believe that they're the Christ. I mean, even David Koresh in Waco, regardless how you look at the outcome, the truth is he was a cult leader. He was demonically guided. He claimed to be the sinning savior, Lamb of God, and so forth, that he would force those people to be there for hours upon hours upon hours, and he would just give him his, you know, demonically guided, he would use the scriptures. Satan used the scriptures. Please don't think Satanists and others don't know the scriptures and don't, they use them. And they misuse them horribly, because a demonic spirit cannot, will not use the Word of God correctly. The Spirit of God will only use the Word of God correctly. Just like when you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be accursed. And nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. No demon spirit will lead the deceived to confess Christ as Lord. The Holy Spirit will only lead you to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, because that's who he is. So in the sessions you have with people coming out of the occult, religious systems, spiritual alternative systems, the cult members, and so forth, you're going to find a tremendous amount of scripture used, so much so in some cases, they don't even want the Bible any longer because it's messed them up. They think the Bible's messed them up. It's not the Bible. It's a demonic use, like Satan was using the scriptures, and that's a good point to bring up to them. The way Satan himself used the scriptures out of context and getting Jesus to disobey or to do something outside the scripture. Well, let's look over this issue of totalism. It's very important because we see this, again, with big cases like Jim Jones and so forth, where six areas, the critical and free thinking, family and friends, employment, means, money, environment, and truth. Let's go over each one. There's a removal of critical and free thinking. Like, for example, the Way International, some of the love bombing they do when they bring new people to their meetings or they get you to go off to a retreat. And their goal is not to allow you to be anywhere to where you can think on your own for even 5 minutes. They got to keep telling you, and repeating things about their truth and their stuff and their leaders and their workers and so forth, and keep you there so that you're not permitted to really think. You'll be told not to think. Matter of fact, in some cases that I've read and discussed with and engaged with, instead of thinking, they've been told, you know, if you start to think differently than what we're teaching you, differently than that Sun Myung Moon is the Savior, just start saying a certain chant or start repeating a certain phrase. It's kind of like, again, to block out any critical thinking, block out really even to block out the Spirit of God. You say, well, how can that happen? Well, look in the book of Acts. When Stephen preached, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised, he said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You know who they were? They were religious people. They were in a deeply rooted works cult, a self-righteous, self-promoting system that didn't lead themselves nor anybody else to God. But through that religious system, they highly attacked the truth and attacked Christ and attacked early Christians. So you're going to find that in all of the cult systems, whether the Way International, Divine Light Mission, the Moonies, even Scientology, you're going to find how they're going to distort. I went to Scientology's headquarters in Hollywood purposely to visit and to go in there to act like I just wanted to learn and listen. And I watched their whole recruiting process and how they use scripture. And they had a brand new film that they were showing. And they asked me if I wanted to see they had an in-house theater and they wanted me to see the film. So I went in and watched the film as they presented Ron L. Hubbard as this massive, incredible new savior of the world that he sacrificed all of life to help people. And it tells you right in the front that Jesus came and he failed and Moses failed and other, it just shows you this whole history of all the religions failing. But now there's Ron L. Hubbard and Scientology. And an incredible system that flowed from somebody that was in the Amalantra workings, high-order demonic workings, someone who was able to use that system for great wealth. Enormous wealth is in Scientology. And there's a tremendous factor. I would not be able to, in these sessions here, to go over Scientology or the Unification Church or the Way International and all of their methods. When it comes to ground-based cults like the Moonies and the Way International and groups similar, Divine Light Mission and those kind of groups, that have, again, the characteristic is they have a, I would say, demonically inspired, yeah, he's spiritually inspired, but demonically inspired charismatic leader. They always do. And there is a use of the scriptures, but a misuse, and their own writings would overtake the writings of scripture eventually. Jimmy Jones stood in front of people there in California at the church, and he would rip pages of the Bible out and tell them how bad and mistranslations and all these kind of things, and then give them revelations and tell them what, you know, to, again, replace even the Word of God in front of them. And the deception was so vast, it led hundreds of them to believe his lies and be under that satanic presence and go to Jonestown and eventually all of them to be slaughtered. And there's more to that story. So I won't have time to go over all the different ones. I'm just going to tell you right now that in evangelism, you're going to meet people like this. If we're to evangelize the world, there's no question we're going to meet people coming that are into cults, into a sect, into the occult, into the New Age, into Satanism in its various forms, Wicca, Druidism, vampirism, and so many others. And we got to engage them with truth. And we talked about that in the last session. But in totalism, when you find somebody who's been through a cult, and it's very, very, you got to be very careful and help to bring them out. Because in totalism, you have the removal of critical and free thinking. They don't want you to think on your own. They don't want you to think by yourself. They don't want you to go to anybody and ask anybody else. They don't want you to really to read the Bible or anything else on your own. They become your complete interpreters. Everything they say, all that they say, and robbing you of free and clear thinking. Secondly, the removal of family and friends. They got to get you away from both family and friends and basically making them evil, the Babylon, the bad guys. They're so evil you can't have any kind of contact. You can't talk to them. You can't go to them. You can't trust them. We're your family now, that type of thing. And under totalism, the demonic a method in that totalism of a cult is to remove them completely and from family and friends so that their only new family is the cult members and the charismatic or the satanically and charismatic cult leader. Under C, there's also the removal of employment and or school. Many hundreds of thousands, think about this now, hundreds of thousands into the millions have left their job or left university to go follow a guru, to leave the country, to move across the country, to leave their job and career to go somewhere to serve the mission of some demonically inspired charismatic leader who founded a cult. And that all begins with the lies and the total removal of them thinking for themselves freely, the total removal of their family and friends, the total, and nobody, they can't have contact, and then the removal of where they've worked and where they're going to school. And I'm telling you right now, this is not a little thing. And it's not over. It didn't happen just in the 60s and 70s. There are still millions involved in these mind control level cults. And if you're going to be on the field and in your offices, you might have parents that bring you people. You may have people that finally have gotten tired and gotten away, and they want to seek truth. They want to get help. But they've been under that system. Some people now have been in 25 years. And they have lived and lived and lived and lived and lived and served a charismatic leader who's become very wealthy. And some of them are getting tired and wanting out of it. But again, that's what a cult does. That's what Satanism is all about. The control, like Pharaoh, he didn't want to let him go. Again, the same method that Pharaoh had, the demonic presence through Pharaoh and the demon gods of Ra and others that were there, didn't want to let those people go. And that came out in their law, that came out in their action, that came out in their military. Well, in the area of cults, even they, like Jim Jones, they had guards, people with guns. And if people wanted to try to leave or question him or come against him in Jonestown, they would be beaten and strapped and raped and other things. And we see this happening also in dark satanic circles, covens. If you're in, you're not allowed to get out. And that's how it is going to be with multiples and those with SRA. But they're usually removed from the familiar place of work and school. And then D, you're going to notice under cult mind control, the removal of means and money. That they're not really working for anything but other than making the upper level people rich. That they might have given over the bank accounts for the cause, everything. Might be one of the rules in a cult system. So that it also then takes away any kind of power to get out. It's almost like an abused wife who has no money, has never been allowed to work, never been allowed to learn, never been allowed to, you know, grow in any way, to where they have no means. Some women like that can't leave because they have nowhere to go. They have no money. Where are they going to go? They might be able to get to a shelter, but if they've been like that for 10 years, they have nothing. No skills, nothing. And that's how it is with many cult members that have been in these kind of cult systems that for 5 years, 10 years, their skill, I mean, it's all gone. And their money's all gone. And their accounts, they don't have a checkbook. They don't use a credit card. They don't have a bank account because they've been told they don't need it. That, the leader will take care of everything. And they're being used, just like in the days of Exodus, when all those Hebrews were being used for Pharaoh's benefit and for the cultically inspired, cult-worshipping, demon-worshipping Egyptians of the time. It was for their benefit. They were slaves of the elites. And that's how Satan, we're not unaware of his schemes, his methods, that he might outwit us. Well, removal from environment also. Usually you see in cult systems, they move you from your city. The Way International is good at that. Divine Light Mission does that. And get you with the group, to travel around with the group, to go to places in California, even out of the country. And it's all about environment also, to take you away from everything, to where you're stripped of everything. And of course, the removal of the truth, in this sense, they do not want you to read the Bible on your own. You know, they really don't believe you have the ability to do it on your own, so they're going to interpret it for you and do everything for you. So please understand, people that's gone through these systems, they are just passive slaves, and their minds have been controlled in such a way that it's very hard for them to come out. Now, I'm going to deal with the coming out, because this is what God wanted to do. Now, I want you to begin to know that no matter what the situation is, even with an SRA, God wants people liberated. That's why Christ came, to set the oppressed free, to release prisoners, to heal the brokenhearted. That's why he came. And Satan doesn't want to let anybody go that's in the systems. that he has serving him. And you know, that's why it says in Timothy about Hermeneus and Alexander, they've been taken captive to do Satan's will. Satan has a will too, to do Satan's will, because he has an agenda. Again, many Christians understand he has a clear-cut agenda, and he wants people to come in and be a part of that agenda. God has his will, and his will is liberation and salvation and bringing us to abundant life. And in every cult system or a sect, or in Satanism or others, there is always going to be the leading to the deception will lead to destruction. Point two on page 20, though, engaging cult mind and soul control. What do you do? So you got somebody in front of you that somebody brought. Maybe they didn't even want to be there. Maybe there's been times people have come in, they didn't want to even be there because of this whole system of totalism. They're not supposed to talk to you. They're not supposed to be there. In some cases, parents have got a hold of deprogrammers and others in the late 70s, 80s, and so forth. And there are still many around today to go extract. Now, let me talk about this for a moment. What did God do with Israel? He really was doing an extraction. He really was doing an extraction, but God sent a servant in to talk to them and tell them and to demonstrate his presence and power, by the way, let alone truth. So it was a power encounter. It was a truth encounter to get a 1.8 million people out of there into the promised land. And it was a major battle to do so. And it took a process, and it took a constant back and forth that was going on and on and on. Even when they were on their way out, the cult leader, Pharaoh, took his whole system and went after them because he ultimately didn't want them to go no matter what. And ultimately, God had to bring a destruction to that kind of control, as he will in systems today. Now, I'll talk about that in another session, about God bringing judgment on cult leaders and so forth in the process of delivering people, but this is part of the issue. If you're a counselor and you're dealing with a satanically, ritually abused individual, and you're bringing them to Christ and getting them out of the coven and getting them away from handlers and splitters and programmers and people in the coven, well then, please understand, the coven may become angry at you. Obviously. And they may begin to do rituals against you, and all the stuff begins to come against you. Yes, they're going to do that. If you're dealing with a cult and you're trying to get somebody to come out, they've got cult workers that are like the enforcers. And they'll come against you. And it's very important that when we go to deal with people in that level of totalism, because every satanic ritually abused person was under that for a long time. I mean, where they were born and how they lived and how they grew up, everything was a mask. The real world was total control of everything about their life, including the splitting, programming, demonizing, and raising them to be a satanic chosen one. Well, under point two, engaging cult mind and soul control, Exodus, you got to get out. That's getting them free to get them to the promise. You can't get them to the promise without getting them out. And that's true of anybody. You know, you can't get somebody saved that's not willing to repent and give up, you know, sin and you know, rebellion against God. So there is a coming out on, in any act of salvation. It's repentance involves, metanoia involves that turning around. And but when it comes to somebody who's been controlled in such a way that they have been so controlled and literally brought to a passivity. Out of fear. Now, I've got a session coming up for you just dealing with the passive mind, and Jesse Penn Lewis deals a lot with the issue of passivity. Demons love passive will, passive mind. They love to operate on it and use it and not allow us to use our minds, and doesn't want those in the coven or cult to use their minds either. Excuse me. Excuse me. So, let's take a look at this. In order to get them into the promised land, you have to get them out and get them over into the promise of Christ. Truth and power encounters are needed at both ends. Now, I want to mention a few things. Extraction. Now, extraction is what was really occurring because God was demonstrating his power and so forth. And you can trust the Lord to demonstrate his power in getting people out of these places. God has no problem with that. God has no problem at all with demonstrating. We see this even in the book of Acts. When Paul is preaching in one place and Bar-Jesus, a Jewish sorcerer, whom the rest of the rabbis didn't even like Jewish sorcerers, but there were Jewish sorcerers. And Paul, filled with the Spirit of God, turns to him and says, "You're always trying to pervert the right ways of the Lord." The hand of God comes against this man, and he goes completely blind in front of everybody. Now, that is a tremendous demonstration of God's power to echo truth. And that's what God's going to do in these processes, in deliverance and in inner healing, but also sometimes in delivering them from the clutches, the hand of the group that's behind their control. Extraction may be needed sometimes. Now, I'm going to tell you extreme extraction. Three of us from the Shatter team years ago, we were flown down to another state down south. Everything was set up. One of our counselors had worked with an individual for a long, long time. And we were all set up to fly down there. And in one night, we would pack this lady's house. Everything she owned was packed into a U-Haul. And she was driven clear back up. All in one night, we packed it all, got it all, and began to drive back. We didn't have to stop at a hotel because it was a long drive. We flew down, got her out of that satanic coven, and was to bring her back. That's how the extraction was to work. Now, it was a willing thing. She wanted out. She wanted free. But down there, she had no one. And that process, we would talk to people on an individual basis on how that works. And maybe you've had to deal with housing people. We're going to talk about that in a few moments, too. But there's that sense of rescue. And we may have to be involved in that rescue. I know Shatter has a tremendous passion to rescue the kids that are involved and to get them at an early age before they are so completely immersed in the abuse. And I think that's part of what we need to do. The ultimate goal is seeing individuals saved, healed, and delivered and out and free. But that also includes those who have... And that's why we do so much prayer mapping and drive into other states and have visited probably 50 other cities praying in the areas. We want those who are undergoing the stuff now as kids. Because if you've got richly abused people right now that you're working with, and you know there's over 4 million diagnosed cases and maybe another 4 or 5 million undiagnosed, please understand something. They were created in the late 50s and early 60s and throughout the 60s, up to maybe even the 70s. But don't forget, a new generation is being raised now. There are new kids going through it, broader and wider than the beginning. There's more of them. And any cult multiple will tell you that there's more. There's kids in the coven, and that's a whole other story we'll talk about. But there's also kids that will need counseling, deliverance, deliverance with children. Maybe I'll do a separate CD just for that. I think that's maybe what we should do. In helping in this process. But there's the idea of extraction. And in this issue is the old issue of deprogramming. In other words, going in and nabbing somebody out of the Way International or the Moonies, the idea of the old programmers is to grab them and take them off to a hotel somewhere and just really speak to them strongly and try to kind of break the hold and get them to begin to think and suggest to them their family and real truth and so forth. The problem with some of those old kind of programmers didn't realize that in all kinds of cult mind control, demonic attachment, let alone possession, is probably occurring. And just to use human words to get them to think and get out is not going to cut it. You're engaged now in massive spiritual warfare, and you're going to have to deal with the spiritual attachment to the control, the lies, the deception. And if they've come to believe doctrines of demons... Just like when we believe the Word of God, the Spirit of God is attached. I mean, He's in the Word. I mean, He's with the Word. And when we receive Christ and we believe the Word, the Spirit of God comes into us. The same Spirit of God who brought us the Word comes into our lives. Well, let me say the same thing about cult systems. Doctrines of demons. If they're going to believe the demonically inspired writings, then guess what? The presence behind those writings will come into them or attach to them. This is true about Muslims. Allah is not the living God. We know that. We know that He's either the ancient moon god, how they mentioned Him in Sumer. I believe truly He was the prince of Persia. Because don't forget, demons don't go, Moloch doesn't go away, Baal doesn't go away. They resurface when people begin to conjure and go to them and believe in them. They're empowered through human doorways. And the entire Islamic world, when Muhammad rejected Christ and rejected Judaism, and then all of a sudden this Allah, this being, revealed or began to encounter him and interact with him, he was an angry and abused and living a very hard life. And yet some of these revelations would come just the same as demonic possession. He would pass out, he would go into a trance, he would foam at the mouth, wake up later, write things down. The development of the Quran, it's very tough to say this publicly, but it has to be said. We understand that it's the dake of demons, the writing of a demonic territorial being. In every single book that is a dake of demons, they'll all speak of Jesus, but they'll all take away his deity, his saviorship, his lordship, and everything else. Every one of them will do that, because no demon is going to call Jesus Lord and point to Jesus. Now, the Spirit of God will take from what is Jesus's and make it known to us. He comes to glorify Christ. So you know that the Spirit of God was not operating in and on Muhammad. A demon spirit was. That's why it's very hard for a Muslim, when they really believe the Quran and believing it, they're believing doctrines of demons and they have attachment. With military and maybe government and popular, the popular population doesn't understand is that this is a spiritually engaged and motivated and guided battle that's going on. That's why it's not going to go away until the second coming. There is a demonic presence when millions of Muslims are in their mosques praying. What are they praying about? Well, they're praying for the defeat of America, defeat of troops, the defeat of Britain, the extension of Islam everywhere, so that eventually the 12th Imam can come, and which is really the Antichrist. And so the demonic presence has operated now in them through the belief in the Dadaki of demons. And that's true of every cult system. That's true in Satanism and other groups. You have to be praying spiritual warfare prayers. you have to be praying against the doctrines of demons that are there operating in those who've come to believe those things. So when we talk about deprogramming, we don't use the secular old style of snatch, grab, and yell at them, and hold them. Excuse me, and hold them until they finally give in, and that's worked in some cases to snap them out of it. But many of those old line deprogrammers didn't take them to Christ. They just got paid to get them out of groups, and it's very important that we realize the issue of extraction. When multiples are coming, or satanic ritually abused people are coming out of covens, or a Satanist that has given a pledge to a coven, a secret society member, a Luciferian. Many of them are told that if they leave, they'll get shot and killed. That's true with Muslims. Look at a Muslim trying to leave. First of all, I have a friend, a brother in Christ I met, and we had him fly here, Reza Safa. He's written a book. You can Google him on the web, and Reza Safa. And he's written a book called Inside Islam. And he is now a powerful, powerful Christian pastor. And has a television program that's beamed into the Arab countries. Great passion for the Arabs. And he was a former radical Shiite Muslim. And when I listened to him personally tell the story how he had such horrible fear that Allah would tear him to pieces, that he couldn't believe in God, that Jesus couldn't be right. Because if he was, then everything that he was raised in and everything that he knew, his family has utterly disowned him. Death threats concerning his life. This is the demonstration, again, of the demonic methodology. If you say things against the Quran, or if you try to prove that Muhammad was married some 20-some times, even to an 8-year-old girl, that he cut people's arms off and tongues out, and that he was violent, and all the different sources, that he was never supernatural, and that There's no comparison between Muhammad and the living Christ. There's no comparison in the attributes of the living personal God and of the demon deity, the impersonal demon deity, Allah, who refuses to have a personal relationship with the people. They're just simply supposed to, Islam, they're supposed to submit and do his will. But in doing his will, there's attachment, and in that attachment, there is deep influence culturally in their laws and on the territorial grounds, and there's influence of the spirits. I believe just waves of spiritual presence comes from the five times a day in the mosques, and yes, that's a doorway for demonic warfare to extend the satanic kingdom. And that can be true in people doing the rituals and everything else. And that's why I'm saying when you're working with people and getting people out of the lies, out of the trauma and abuse and things that they've gone through, then you're dealing with, especially if they're part of an old spiritual cultic system, that you're going to deal with an engagement with the powers. And that's okay. Jesus knew that in the Great Commission too. That's why he commissioned and trained disciples. And he said, I have given you authority. I have spiritual authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm me. And so I am to preach and you the gospel and help get people rescued and brought out of the fire. And I'm to use the authority of Christ in personal deliverance issues and in praying against demonic influence, demonic territorial influence, and all the rest. That's why it's vital. You cannot be a tremendous helper today. You can't do great evangelistic work, counseling work, discipleship work without living in the context of spiritual warfare, which includes spiritual victory. Victory in Christ. That's what warfare is all about, you know, seeing victory. You may have to, in the area of extraction, help people get out, go somewhere to pick somebody up. You know, I've heard of people, you know, they send somebody a ticket. If you really want to get free, I'll send you a ticket. Come on over, you know, come back home and we'll begin to work with you. So there might be, you might have to develop a plan in this area. You know, maybe parents come to you and they're counseling with you and they got to get their child out of some kind of group or whatever. And you might have to send somebody to evangelize, to go. You might even have to use legal means if a child's underage, and do whatever it takes to get people out of. And God did take enormous means to get a 1,800,000 people out. And that's because he cared. And he wanted to bring them to the promised land. He heard their pain. He heard what they were going through. He saw their misery. And there are people all over the place. There are people being ritually abused every weekend in the United States of America. The innocent blood, like in Josiah's day, Manasseh's day, the innocent blood is being shed from one end of our nation to the other to demonize, to darken, to extend the satanic kingdom. And you and I are in the gap, my friend. You and I are in the midst of it. And thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to be out there. Extraction is important. And there's times that we need to do and just get wisdom from God and do all that we need to do to get people out of harm's way and out of abuse and out of those systems. Well, along with extraction or them coming out of, and it may be by the powers of God and the grace of God and your interaction and so forth, don't be afraid to be like used like Moses, you know, against, again, abusive cultic systems. You're going in the name of Yahweh. You're going in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see people get set free. And I know for some of you, it's frustrating because you've ministered to somebody in your office or your office, your pastoral office, and they're missing for 3 weeks. And eventually when they come back, they've been taken back by a coven or a group and they've been punished. And things happen to them, and you got and the work that you already did, you got to redo, and that's why I'm talking about dealing with these issues in exit counseling. The next one is on page 21, and it involves safety. You got to bring them to safety, whether that's you know, we've hidden people out in years past. We've had teams that literally we've hidden people out. We've been praying for some time now about setting up one of our first houses that we bring people to, and they can even stay there for a week or so. Because with a lot of the deep level abuse cases, satanic ritual abuse, A lot of work's got to be done. If a little bit of work's done and most of them are still, you know, split up into other personalities and controlled, and they have outside handlers, well, then they're going to have a hard, hard time. God has the power to bring them out. God's what God wants to do to bring them out. But you have to be used. God uses redeemed individuals. Look at Moses had to go through to help get them people out. And he had to engage leaders that were worshipers of demons that were guided in their law and in their belief systems by demonic ideology. And you may have to ask God in your prayers for God to visit them, for God to deal with them, for God to do what it takes. And obviously God can do that. Well, one of the goals in getting people out of cult systems and others is the safety issue. Are they safe? Anybody coming after them? Anybody calling them? Anybody keeping their children, saying we're going to harm your children unless you come back? You've got to do all that's necessary in the safety issues. Years ago, in helping a federal officer's wife, I remember standing one day in a room where the coven was calling the house. We're standing there, federal officer, the wife, a number of other people. All of the folks have weapons. As this cult guy is calling in, trying to trigger the federal officer's wife for the runner to come up and run out the door and run back to the coven. And the concern was whether there's going to be a battle, you know, even a gun battle engaging. We've called law enforcement in from numerous departments when it came to the safety issues and getting people out. So many times, I have no trouble calling and making it a public thing and bringing law enforcement in and doing all that we can. We've even gone to newspaper before, and we have materials where we can unleash, and it will speak publicly. There's people that don't want us to do that, but we'll do what we need to do. Isaiah 58, if you get some time tonight, you know, study Isaiah 58 concerning, you know, what you're going to do to spend yourself on behalf of them. You got to go more than a 50-minute session. You might have to really work hard at getting some of these people out. That's true about little girls that are taken up in prostitution rings and white slavery rings and the pornography rings in California and Hollywood and so forth. You may have to work really hard. Man, we had to engage one time, you know, literally engage and preach the gospel to and stand strong in front of pimps in downtown Akron who were beating up on some 17-year-old girls and making them dance. And we called Akron Vice Squad and whatever it takes to get them out, to get them safe, because then they're not living in sheer fear of being beat up. I remember a girl one time walked into our offices and demanded all of her Book of Shadows and all the information back. And I asked her why. She says, because two nights ago they came for me and they beat her and they hurt her and they told her that they're going to do it again unless she gets all her information back. And we were helping her to get out, and guess what happened next? Here she shows up at a church service, and at the end of the church service she comes all the way down. At that time my daughter was born. She was probably only, I think, 8 months at the time, maybe 9 months old. And this girl came right up to me, and there was hundreds of people around at the end of the service, and we're all talking, and this girl comes up and starts talking to me, and she told me that she's going to have to steal my daughter. This got put in the Akron Beacon Journal, everything. She's going to have to steal my daughter, take her to the coven to sacrifice her, in order to get her rank back, because she lost her rank because of her telling us her secrets and telling about the coven and trying to get out. And I had to take a look at her and deal with that issue. Now, part of her not getting out at the time was because she was getting beat up and pulled back, and then eventually she got taken. I haven't seen her for years upon years. Now, the other side of the story was it seemed like she was also infiltrating and planning and at least attempting. She brought tremendous harm, Matter of fact, she got caught by law enforcement. They broke into that church there in Akron and was doing a ritual, burning a Bible and blood and everything right in the sanctuary to bring harm to that church. And they did bring harm to that church. In some of these cases, safety issues. You got to work on whatever safety issues you can. We've had individuals that would go guard people at night. We had people go guard individuals like this. And so we've had a number of run-ins, a number of issues with law enforcement and all kinds of things. But we've also trusted God in His providence to do what's necessary to bring, God can bring pharaohs down. God can bring individuals down. And we have to believe that God is just like this today. The wicked queen of Scotland, who was persecuting Protestant Christians and so forth, it was said of her that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Because he prayed, and he was praying against evil. And he was praying for the extension of the kingdom of God. And he was bringing people to salvation through faith in Christ and getting them the word of God, the word of God into their hands. And she feared his prayers because she knew that God was listening, and he believed that God can come in and take down even leaders of nations if necessary. And I believe that we need to understand how that works. Well, you're going to have to also bring in support financially. Many of these folks have nothing. They have no money. You're going to have to work on systems. Man, that's where we have to work on things to help them. And sometimes they have kids, sometimes they don't. And bring support and finance and clothing and so forth, because they really have nothing. If they're coming out of a cult, they have nothing. If they're coming straight out of satanic ritual abuse and everybody around them was part of the ones keeping them in the group, and they come away from that, they come with nothing. So understand the issue of support, because if they come into your office for 50 minutes and they go out, if they're coming from a serious cult or coven, you can be sure that the coven or cult group is going to use members to do things. And you can be sure also that they have no means, that, you know. So that's why I'm saying a lot of this, there's a lot of field work in the redemption. And God will use you. And you can build a team that some people specialize on, years, you know, helping them and maybe getting them a place to stay and working with them and making sure they have clothing and food and they're cared for in those ways. Another issue is housing. Ultimately, you got to get them housing. If they're coming out of a cult and other groups and Satanism and whatever, you got to get them housing, safe housing, but eventually they need to live. They're going to need to live. So you got to help them in that way. And that leads to the next one, E on page 21, life skills. To where so many cult members are coming out, so many, well, especially in cults, they haven't worked jobs, regular jobs. So there is a you know, reintroducing them into their family, into life skills and jobs, and getting a job and holding a job down, so there's a whole new development for them coming out, and God's able to do it all. And obviously he did that with Israel as they were coming out. Now it took God some time to move them to the promised land because of the will, fears, and somewhat sometimes selfishness of the individuals that didn't believe God and complained and everything else. So the promised land that they could have been brought into so much quicker was due to their own, slow development in believing and so forth. And sometimes you're going to have individuals like that. They're going to be so slow to believe, so slow to, you know, stand up and trust. And it's almost like you got to do all the believing and all the trusting and everything for them. But you can't do that and leave them passive. They've got to come to trust Christ and believe God and pray and learn to let God operate in their life ultimately, and to live a job, you know, to give a job. And the Bible teaches that we're to work and to work with our hands and to be doing things profitably and making life. Well, that leads me to the next point too, in the context of a freedom encounter, and that's apologetics. Apologetics is simply this, giving a reason for them to reject the lies and giving a reason to believe the truth. Now, there's a spiritual battle in that process for the mind and spirit. Now, listen, this is very important. Point 3 in page 21. You can't get to the spirit by bypassing the mind. In other words, there's an engagement. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And so talking to people to get them out of a cult, to give them the scripture, as I said before, point by point, and to bring them the word of God and to retruth them, in the sense that if they've been given the Bible and distorted, you've got to come back with truth, what the real meaning of Christ as Lord, as God, as Savior, and and the systematic teaching of scripture, you've got to give them so they can see clearly. And that process can take some time. So in the idea of spirit-led apologetics, giving a reason for the hope you have within you, do it gently. And it's for them, again, coming out of the bondage and the mental bondage and the fear that they may have had because of the group. And they weren't allowed to think for themselves. They weren't allowed to choose. They weren't allowed to read a Bible. Reza Safa, the Muslim, Shiite Muslim, wasn't allowed to read the Bible. And they wasn't allowed to be asking these questions and so forth about Jesus and the God of heaven. But as he did, and as he drew nearer to Christ, there finally became a breaking point into that final surrender and ultimately turning from idols to the living God, as it says in the book of Thessalonians. As a matter of fact, if you look at the book of Acts, everybody of the thousands and thousands that got saved, they all came out of prior religious systems. The Nicolaitans, the blood cults of Rome and of the Greeks, Athena and Diana and all the rest, Artemis, they were all coming out of belief systems. There was no secular humanists or individuals that didn't have anything. They were all getting saved in the context of an encounter of turning away from the idols, turning away from the gods and goddesses, and turning to the living Christ, turning away from faulty Phariseeism, Sadduceeism, a system that became a cult within itself, and turning to the living Christ in truth. So apologetics in engaged in a freedom encounter, yes, giving them a reason to reject the lies, to show them again and again and again where the scripture tells this truth and they showed you lies. And so you're gonna have to go over that again and again, give them a reason to believe. And that's part of the process, and that's part of biblical apologetics too, that will really help them. Maybe read a couple good books on apologetics in the context of dealing with cults. And part of Freedom Encounters involves the apologetics, which simply is giving a reason of the hope you have, the belief, and the reasons why God is God and Christ is the Messiah and the Savior and Lord and God in human flesh, and so forth. Well, under point 4, page 21, getting out is not good enough. And I gave the example, and I'm giving the example again, of the burned victims. You know, the firemen come and they're there to rescue people and put out the fire, and they're bringing burn victims out. Say people are coming out and they're burned. Their hair is singed, their skin is burnt. They're alive, but they're burnt. Well, the firemen, they're not going to leave them on the side of the street. What's going to happen? They're going to need to be mended and taken care of. They're going to need to be healed up, and they're going to need to be protected. So a lot of people coming out of cults, and especially satanic ritual abuse, and other kinds of sexual abuse, physical abuse, they're like burn victims. They've been burned in life by the demons and by people. And you and I are there to help go in and bring Jesus, the rescuer, to them. And if we just get them out and then let them go on their way, you know they're going to fall flat on their face. You know they're going to fall into despair and hope. You know what? They just can't do it. What we're supposed to do is get them out and bring them into the truth, and bring them into Christ. God wants to bring them to the promised land. He wants to give them a peace they've never had, a love they've never had, a genuine love they've never had. He wants to give them a salvation that is inside and eternal, that's assured. He wants to get them into a relationship with Him, which they haven't had through a cult system or a satanic system. So in that process, there's four things. Believing the truth is a choice. It's always a choice. And that's how we present the message of Christ and the Word of God. A choice. Even as a believer, I have a choice whether I'm going to get up and have prayer, or do the Word of God, or do the Great Commission. Choice is involved. Choice is not taken away from me. I choose to follow Christ. I really do. Well, then there's believing truth opens doors. Believing truth opens doors to the hand of God, to the Spirit of God operating. As people begin to believe more and more of the truth, they're seeing the promises of God. They're being built up in their faith. They're going to begin to grow. They're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Believing the truth moves to action. Anybody who's really believing the truth will move them. You know, they're going to choose to repent of things, to renounce old idols, to renounce old cultic charismatic leaders, to renounce satanic oaths and covenants and whatever else they've done. And that's another thing in the penetrating process of the Holy Spirit searching. It might be a good question. What do you think God wants you to renounce, just to really shut the door on, to cut off? Now, we'll talk about that in the deliverance session, but But that's important. It moves to action. They're going to begin to obey the Lord and take up the cross and follow Christ. Believing truth empowers them. Yes, you get stronger. Yes, you grow stronger. Yes, you become more stable. Yes, you become more knowledgeable. Yes, you become more blessed in doing the Word of God. So that is vital also, to make sure that we move them along. Getting out is not good enough. Getting them in. God didn't get 1.8 million people out of the bondage of Pharaoh to leave them in the desert to die. He wanted to bring them to the promised land, and he's there for the whole process. Philippians 1:6 again, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the very day of Christ, of his return, if necessary. Point 5 on page 21, exit counseling, freedom encounters, and dynamic discipleship. Just simply two things. Knowing and knowing how to. That's what the Word of God's all about. Knowing God, knowing the truth, knowing salvation, knowing, but also knowing how to pray, knowing how to have a devotional time, to know how to use the Word of God, to know how to begin to live for Christ, how to seek the Lord. So a lot of what we're going to do to help individuals is to teach them how, to lead them to pray and let them be a part of a prayer group and let them watch how others are expressing their faith so they can grow and not only get out of the lies and bondage, but to get into the promised land of God's blessing. The last thing is this, teaching them how to live and to guard themselves. Guard yourself too, but how to live and guard. How they need to, you know, read the scriptures in 1 John where it says, I'm writing this to you concerning those who are trying to lead you astray. Or in Matthew where Jesus says, you know, don't let anybody deceive you. Or in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about not being easily unsettled through some false prophecy or false report that's contradictory to the Word of God. So they know they have the Word of God's like a freedom foundation. They have freedom in Christ. And the Word of God, as they keep reading and studying and growing and developing and experiencing, tells them also then how to guard, how to do spiritual warfare, how to rebuke the enemy themselves, how to become eventually out of recovery and eventually not only into dynamic discipleship, but into great servanthood. And they can become powerful for the Lord because he has a promised land for every one of them. Freedom is one thing. Development is the next thing. But promised land blessings and destiny and God's call in their life. And part of your sessions down the road will be after you bring them through things and through inner healing and through deliverance and through truth encounters and through apologetics and all the rest. Is some of the final sessions is how they're to get, you know, God's, you know, how they learn spiritual gifts or be filled with the Spirit of God and begin to grow for the Lord and get to serve the Lord. So that's vital also. Well, we're done with session 8. We're going to go into session 9 here soon. And the Lord bless you. And may the God who's promised that he began a great work in you for you and I to experience him carrying us along to complete that work all the way to the end. He's with us to the end of the age. He'll never forsake us or leave us. Father, bless the counselors and workers and laborers, those who are listening in whatever providential ways, that you would encounter them tonight, today, in their listening, in their studies, that you would add to all of what we're saying in this 70 minutes in order to give them even more. Cause each one of us to step out in ministry, to go further than we've ever gone before. And I want to encourage you again from the Lord to study Isaiah 58 and how far to go in ministering to others and breaking yokes and breaking every yoke and spinning yourself, because then God's healing will quickly appear and he'll speak and guide and direct and he'll be your rear guard. Well, the Lord's blessing to you, my friend, and I look forward to our next session. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net from the Freedom Encounter Course.